appreciate your generosity. Each year, for a week, we host Fund Drive, our annual fundraising campaign that augments our budget and supports our operations. It is thanks to you that we can rise higher and reach further.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM in Burnaby, British Columbia.
Today on Wings, some of the highlights of 40,000 years of sacred Venus art with goddess scholar, author, and lecturer, Dr. Anina van der Meer.
Many, many women make little figurines by hand in their own ovens at home, make an offering with such a little figurine in the temple to ask something like fertility, a baby. And when the wish is fulfilled, they offer again a little figurine. That's why we have so many, many, many female figurines. Millions of them, all over the world.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Dr. Anina van der Meer is a religious and goddess scholar and director of the Pan Sophia Academy in the Netherlands. Her comprehensive book on sacred female art is The Language of Ma, the Primal Mother, the evolution of the female image in 40,000 years of global Venus art. I'm Mindy Rann. I asked Dr. Anina van der Meer to begin by defining Venus art.
It's sacred feminine art, pre-Christian art, which has as central themes birth, death, and rebirth. We think that these Venus figurines were shamans, were midwives, sages-femmes. They were clan mothers, they were the leaders of the clan, which became very important for later generations because they learned people things and later generations didn't forget that. And they became icons of clans. And so they had a social function, they had a medical function, they had even a very spiritual function. And the spiritual function had to do with giving birth, helping women giving birth. And when the people died, we think they helped the souls of the people to be birthed in afterlife. So there was a whole cycle of life. And you have the same thing during Ice Age and after Ice Age. But when the ice melts, we see those clan mothers and shamans, female shamans, sitting. They don't stand anymore, but they sit on the earth because they don't need to walk anymore. They have their small gardens or their small agricultural fields. And then we also have the huge group of fully and Rubenesque nanas, we call them now, clan mothers. But we also have the smaller group of skinny and skeleton-like figurines. And when time goes on, these clan mothers are divinized. They become goddesses. And then we have the difference between goddess, priestess, and adorant. And these adorants, so many, many women who make little figurines by hand in their own ovens at home. So they are made millions and millions of them, really, really very, very much. Then they make an offering with such a little figurine in the temple to ask something like fertility, a baby. And when the wish is fulfilled, they offer again a little figurine. You see, that's why we have so many, many, many female figurines. millions of them all over the world. This is a global, international art form, feminine art form, which shows the importance of the feminine in ancient societies.
I'm having a problem grasping the concept of how they can represent fertility, which is to me partially sexual, and how that is sexualized in the way that you talk about it. And I think the first one you talk about that this is happening with is the Venus of Holofels.
Well, she was the last Venus found from Ice Age. In 2009, they found lots of parts of her, and then they collected all the parts. It was a Swiss female student who found these parts, and they put the parts together, and there she was. And next to her was a flute, because they played a lot of music and they danced a lot, and they were also in the dark of the cave. So she was found in a cave. But now, and that is the problem of this Venus art, this sacral feminine art, the interpretation of the art. And when the first Venuses were found by the first archaeologist in the 19th century, they saw that they were naked and they had big vulvas. And then they thought, well, this is very unpolite, and they shame themselves for their nakedness. And they knew the Greek Venuses, who were naked and very erotic. And then they used a name from classical Greek, from a patriarchal feminine image, the eroticized female. They used a name for this very ancient feminine art. So this is called Venus art. And they immediately started to interpret the sacral ancient art as erotic, as pin-up, as a sex symbol, as people in the Ice Age who had all the time sex, because these vulvas and breasts and bellies and buttons were so huge. So they had all kinds of erotic fantasies in this Victorian age. And that's why the erotic interpretation of this sacral feminine art, which has to do with the cycle of life, is till the day of today, and Venus of Holofels is a beautiful example, because she was interpreted by these male archaeologists immediately as a sex symbol. And I had the honor when the professor Nicholas Connaught was in Leiden. He gave a lecture, and so I went to him and I said, well, I admire your work, and she's beautiful, the Venus of Holofels, but why do you call her a sex symbol? He said to me, and I will never forget this, she is a sex symbol. Please take out the newspaper, the daily newspaper, and all the news of the world is turning about sex. And then I was so disappointed by this interpretation that I went home and I thought, well, I've got my school and I'm going to give lectures myself and courses myself, and I will write books about it to change interpretation, because the most used ones are, till the day of today, the erotic ones, because of these vulvas and all these breasts and etc. Or they're normal women who were very fat, who had too much food, who had nothing to do. That is the interpretation of the new archaeology. And they think, well, they are sick, they are pregnant, they are too fat, they are obese, they have a kind of pathology. So what do you think they do to this sacral Venus art? They ruin it. They don't understand a thing.
I can understand the Marilyn Monroe thing, because it's mostly men still who are interpreting this. And I hate to make these sorts of generalizations, but what's going on with the women archaeologists here? Are they buying into that whole Marilyn Monroe, you know, sexy vamp, big breasts, big buttocks, big, you know, big belly. It's a sex symbol thing? Or what's happening to the women's voices here?
Well, I can give the example of Dr. Jill Cook in the British Museum in 2013. There was really an international exhibition, Ice Age Art. And these Venuses from Siberia, from Germany, France, Czechia, most of the most important pieces were there. And Dr. Jill Cook wrote the descriptions next to the Venus figurines, and she also wrote the catalogue. And she left the erotical interpretation, but she chose for the interpretation of pregnancy. All naked Venuses who were fed were pregnant with their first child, with their second child. All fatness was reduced to being pregnant, which is not the case, because some of them are pregnant, but this pregnancy has a symbolic value. It is not about normal women, but it's about a clan mother who is birthing, sometimes with an open vulva, and also the child you nearly see coming out. It's really about birthing life and rebirthing life. So it's also ancestor art. And ancestor art normally has, all over the world, very exaggerated fertility body parts. And this is something of the new archaeology. These are normal women. Fatness is a kind of pregnancy or illness or obesitas. And, well, it is not about the symbolic value. They only look at the outside. It is a kind of materialistic science, materialistic interpretation of art, ancient art. What do the symbols mean? What does a big vulva mean symbolically? Fortunately, the symbolists and also spiritualists, because we also take in the spiritual interpretation of souls being reincarnated again, and that's why its ancestor art is gaining a lot of power, fortunately, because the new archaeology to which Mrs. Jill Cook belongs, they are in the universities, they write the school books, university books, they are in the museum. So you have to have outsiders who have the guts to see it differently. And in my case, I founded a school.
On Wings, you are listening to an interview with Dr. Annina van der Meer, author of the book The Language of Ma, The Primal Mother, The Evolution of Female Image in 40,000 Years of Global Venus Art. The book contains 1,300 illustrations. Dr. van der Meer directs the Pan Sophia Academy in the Netherlands. She was interviewed for Wings by Mindy Ran.
If I'm following you correctly, male archaeologists, historically, particularly from Victorian time, when a lot of these things were being discovered, basically when, ooh, Marilyn Monroe function. The women who have come up afterwards have said pregnancy or normal women.
Yeah.
At least in classic academia. Yeah. Now, it's very clear you disagree with that. So I wanted to look at an image that probably almost all of our listeners will have seen referred to. And let's talk about the Venus of Wellendorf.
Yeah.
Now, why don't you describe for our listeners, just in case there is someone out there who hasn't seen it, what the Venus of Wellendorf looks like.
Yeah. So Mrs. Cook called this Venus figurines the woman of Wellendorf. It's a normal woman. So that's a difference. If you come in a museum and you don't know anything about this, you see the woman of Wellendorf, or you see the Venus of Wellendorf, or the Venus figurine of Wellendorf. It makes a difference. It makes a difference. If you read in the description, this is a fat, obese woman who had several children. Or you read in the description, this is the naked body of a figurine from Ice Age from 23,000 BC who wears a round hat on her head with seven layers and a center in the middle, which probably points at her crown chakra. She's very well rooted in the earth because her lower body is very well figured. She has a beautiful belly with a beautiful round navel. She has a beautiful vulva, which is standing a little bit open. She has beautiful breasts, and she's laying her hands on her breasts. And this is a body posture which is very, very important because it shows the breasts sustain life. And she has no face. Her little head has no face, no nose, no eyes, no mouth. It could mean that this is not a living clan mother anymore, but she's dead already. Because when you don't have a nose, you can't breathe. You cannot look. So it could be a symbol of a clan mother who passed away, who was very loved, and they would keep her figurine in their hand or in their habitat whenever they needed her. And you can also imagine that when they had difficulties, they would consult her soul by shamanizing her soul. And in that time, they really had contact with the soul world. And we know this from indigenous people who still make this art till the day of today, that the world of the people on earth is linked to the worlds of the souls. They have a multi-dimensional worldview.
We've come to this place in modern times where there are three very distinct visions of who these Venus represented. And one, as we said, is Marilyn Monroe. One is normal women. And then we get to this shamanistic, sacred Venus art place. It sort of echoes the original feminine tales of girl, mother, grandmother. So we come back to this tale of three seems to be following us.
When you talk about the threeness of the feminine triad, daughter, mother, grandmother, I look at Mary. Mary is threefold. We know the three Marys at the grave, for example. But, you know, this daughter, mother, grandmother thing, which was sacred in ancient societies, which were still harmonious and peaceful and wise, that this threefoldness was divided. So the daughter, the small daughter, she was made in monotheistic religion, especially Christianity, in the traditional Christianity, because the esoterical Christianity sees this different. That's why we found Nakamadi texts and all these kinds of things. But in traditional Christianity, the little girl, the daughter, was made into the mother who stayed the virgin mother. So the mother and the daughter went into one. Very difficult, very complicated construction. But she was the virgin mother. And the grandmother, this is the most ugly thing, bizarre thing, the grandmother, who was connected with winter time, autumn, destroying of nature, to clean it up and to prepare it for new life in spring. But the winter goddess, the death goddess, she was put into the world under the earth, which was made into hell. She became the witch. She became very dark and very evil. Because in monotheism, there was only light, which was good, and darkness was bad. And this dark goddess of winter time was demonized. And it's very, very bad, because in this 21st century, when we are heading to a new age, it's very important to see that light and darkness are one, two sides of one metal.
What happened to these ancient images of women? What happened to these Ma images or Venus images during modern civilization, during patriarchy?
Well, when Maria Gimbutas, who is the archaeologist who rediscovered old Europe, and she was professor in UCLA, and she went to five places in Eastern Europe where she digged, where she found Venus art. And then she found 100,000 pieces, which were not whole, but she found also 30,000 whole pieces of Venus figurines. And then she went into the museum. These were between the 60s and the 90s. Then she went into the archives of the museum, in the depots, in the cellars, or in wherever they were. And she found so many, many Venus figurines put, stored away in boxes. And, you know, nobody knew that they were there. Nobody was interested in them. Because everybody thought, well, this is so primitive, this is so handmade, this is Roman. Sometimes they thought it was Roman. It was not Roman 50 BC, it was 5000 BC. So she started to develop the system of symbols about birth, about rebirth, about death and rebirth. She did a fantastic job. Then this Renaissance started with Maria Gimbutas, with Mellart in Anatolia. But while starting and while giving them a symbolic value and a spiritual value, this counter movements of the new archaeology started. Only this materialistic interpretation, only weighing, only measuring, examining every stretch from the outside, making several interpretations, not looking to the anthropologists who did field work in modern indigenous tribes, who discovered that it was still used. These ancestral mothers in Siberia and wherever over the world. Especially the clan mothers were depicted in indigenous tribes. In Russia, you call them matryoshkas. In India, you call them matrikas. Then there became a revival in feminist circles and goddess scholar circles. But they're not, you know, put away in the academic world.
Still,
to the day of today, I want to name Max Dashu, who did a tremendous job of collecting symbols from all over the world. She devoted her life on unknown stories of female leaders, female shamans, and also Venus art. And she also said, like Maria Gimbutas already had stated in the 60s, this is an international art still living till the day of today, which shows the primacy of the female and making society peaceful, harmonious, and loving.
While as late as 2009, anthropologist Paul Mellers suggested that the Venus of Holofels could be seen as bordering on the pornographic. Current entries for the Venus of Willendorf on Wikipedia have already demoted her from goddess to woman. This swing from sex toy to normal woman, with little of the sacred or symbolic in between, appears in the Siberian Times of the 18th of February, 2016.
The headline of the article, Siberia's Venus figurines are not Venuses. And then I found out that these archaeologists was a female archaeologist who was interviewed by the female journalist. And she said, well, they are clothed. We have found many clothings and decorations and hats. And she pointed at the very stick-like figurines who have been found in Malta in Siberia and Buret. So you have the full Rubenesque group, but you also have the stick-like group. And then the stick-like group, she interpreted as being children and teenagers, normal people. So no Venuses, depicted were normal women, normal children, stick-like, and stick-like teenagers. This is an example of the interpretation of the new archaeology. We saw that in London, 2013, Jill Cook, and now these people are in the same direction. They are not talking about Venuses, they are talking about normal clothed women and children and teenagers. But we knew they are not true. Because in Siberia, the very moment Sandra Sakalova is researching in the Arctic area, and there, these stick-like, very thin images with a round head, they are the ancestor symbols. And in the cat, they're especially the ancestor mothers who are kept with the fire, close to the hearth, where all the peoples gather, where they cook, where they talk, where they are warm together. So these are ancestral figurines who guard and protect the living ones. And especially the Sandra Sakaleva, she found out, especially the mother of the tent is communicating with the ancestral spirits. When there is no mother of the house, the ancestral spirits are being put away and the tent is, you know, is gone because there's no family anymore. So with this anthropologist's foundings, these archaeologists don't mind about this anthropological fieldwork. We are pleading for an interdisciplinary attitude. You see, anthropology, archaeology, psychology, art history, all those fields, you have to put the research together and then you have to develop a view on the art. So I think these Siberian archaeologists miss the point.
Dr. Anina van der Meer is a religious and goddess scholar and director of the Pan Sophia Academy in the Netherlands. Her comprehensive book on sacred female art is The Language of Ma, the Primal Mother, the Evolution of the Female Image in 40,000 Years of Global Venus Art. I'm Mindy Ran in Amsterdam for Wings.
Dr. Anina van der Meer's book is published in Canada by Demeter Press. Her newest book in English, Magdalene's Ascension, was published by Simon & Schuster Canada in 2025. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be found at maternalgifteconomymovement.org. That's maternalgifteconomymovement, all one word, .org. The Wings Sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle Is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Thank you for supporting our annual fundraising campaign. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you for helping us rise higher and reach further.